This episode is brought to you by Revel Snacks, R-E-V-O-L-S-N-A-X. Now, I have to say, I personally ventured down the keto path mid-2019 and really struggled initially. I felt like I was missing out on the little joys in life and couldn't enjoy any snacks or desserts. Then I came across Revel Snacks and haven't looked back. They are by far the most delicious health food product I've ever come across. I mentioned that I'm a fan of keto, but these are the perfect option for paleo, vegan, or just overall healthy lifestyles. I try and eat as clean as possible, and these snacks are incredibly clean. It's a company that truly cares about their ingredients, uses organic when possible, and is mindful of our on-the-go lifestyles. Check out Revel Snacks today and use code MUSICTHEORY10, MUSICTHEORY10, for 10% off your first order. Now, on with the show. Welcome back, Rhythm Section, to another episode of the Music and Theory Podcast. I'm Mike, and as always, joined by Steve.
Yeah, buddy.
What's happening, man?
I gotta tell you, dude, every single time we say it's been too long.
Months.
Months. Just a lot going on. I mean, it takes that much time to create worthwhile content. Wouldn't you agree?
I like to think that's true. That sounds fair.
Well, I think the Rhythm Section would agree. So there
We've kept them waiting long enough. So indeed. I mean, at this point, they'll take anything. Who knows what we're going to put out tonight?
Yeah. But... I mean, I don't know that we want to test that logic all that much, but yeah, that's probably a good point.
Well, good stuff. We certainly have a lot to talk about. We will get into lead singers tonight, which, you know, interestingly enough, Steve, a guy we worked with, and I still do a little bit, Jim Sweeney, I'll throw his name out there because I know he was a listener for a long time. And hey, if you still are, Jim, thank you very much. Gave me the idea for an episode on lead singer years ago, and we never did it. Steve and I talked about it forever, and I'm sure it's something that we probably have essentially done informally in conversations. But tonight we're going to cover lead singers, and I think that's a good place to get us going here.
Yeah, absolutely. And because when we were talking about this, and I think that whether the Rhythm Section knows this or not, Mike, like when we are creating content for an episode, Mike and I are very, very good friends. We almost don't talk for fear that we will like leak information. So to the point where I said frontmen, you said lead singers.
I know.
Me, they are different.
I know.
And we'll get into why later.
You know,
I'm sure, but that's good. That's kind of cool.
When we were talking earlier, I knew something like you were holding back a little something on me, and I said, "Oh man, he's got material for the episode. We can't talk right now. We're gonna have to hang up this phone."
we legitimately did do that.
Yeah,
I was like,
much.
"Why don't we save that for later?" You were like, "Really, dude?" Like, all right.
Oh, so there's stuff. That. But we do have essentially months to catch up on. Steve, playing, listening, hit me with some stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, a couple things. The first is I have been riding like the Instagram feed in terms of music.
Mm-hmm.
Follow a guy, Somewhere Soul, on Instagram, which is super, super, super cool. And you get really, really great ideas. Because Mike, we've been talking about this for the longest time. It's so easy to just get caught in a rut.
Yeah.
Whether it's listening to music or whether it's playing music. So you're always kind of trying to find new avenues to listen to music. And Spotify is cool. It's also not. No disrespect to Spotify for podcasters. And then, I don't know, man. I like the pop thing just isn't for me. And I know that makes me sound like an old bastard who's like, get off my lawn. But I can't. I just can't. Like I can appreciate what's going on and like why people like certain things.
Yep.
And it's been freaking me out because my daughter gets in the car now. And I think based on what's like cool on TikTok she listens to.
Yep.
And the other day, like an Amy Winehouse song came on. And then Rich Girl by Hall & Oates came on. And I was like, is this my playlist? Like, what are you listening to? So they've grown out of this nonsensical music.
Well, there you go.
Exclusively.
Yeah.
Right? They still listen to some nonsense. But, like, there's, like, this revolt against Taylor Swift, which, listen.
Really?
Whatever, well, I think in some circles people are like, I'm done.
Oh, boy.
And that's fine. And, listen, I was... As you know, I saw her with my daughter and her friend, yep. And oh, I will yeah. say the show was unbelievable, but it's never been my thing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, all that to say that it was nice to start to go down a road where you can listen to some really interesting music. So I have been listening to a whole bunch of things, but stuff that I was listening to De La Soul.
Oh, nice.
When was the last time you even thought about De La Soul?
High school, man. High school. Like,
3 Feet High
back.
Rising. Yeah. I was listening to that album because Steven Wilson from Porcupine Tree said that that was like one of the best sampling albums he's ever heard.
That's amazing.
And I was like, all right, well, I clearly got to go listen to that again, right? So I listened to it. It's fantastic. You just hear the sampling in the background. I still think Daft Punk are some of the best at that. Like, do you remember I sent you that reel?
Oh, yeah.
That showed you how they came up with
that
One More Time. And
outrageous.
I was like, you have got to be shitting me how good that is. That was unbelievable.
It's pretty incredible. Yeah.
It really is. It really is. And you would never even know. If you heard the original song, you would almost never be able to put two and two together.
Yeah, I agree.
As opposed to the samples that you and I are used to, where it's like you instantly recognize the song. Like Cardi B does Girls Just Want to Have Fun. You know it's the song instantly, right? Because it's just, it's playing in the background. But that one was unbelievable. So was listening to De La Soul. So a couple of things. I was listening to a band called Ghost Funk Orchestra. It's called A Song for Paul is the album. Dude, it was unreal. Like these are like jazz-inspired like funk bands. And I was like, okay, like tell me more. That
interesting.
Kind of thing.
Okay.
This fellow by the name of Pale J, there was an album called Bewilderment. So good. The Offline French band, it's called La Couleur de la Mer, which like the color of the ocean, or the sea, if you want. And I was on a really long drive. I was coming back, like I was someplace in the middle of Jersey. And I was driving back, and you know how that is. Like at any time, it could be 2 hours, 3 hours.
Sure.
So I was listening to Ravi Shankar and Ali Akbar Khan in concert.
Oh, wow.
It's like an hour and a half. The
sure.
album is like 90 minutes. It's three songs.
Yep.
So like it's three raga. Each one is like 45 minutes long. And you forget how crazy Indian music can be in the sense that like it speeds up. It slows down. Sometimes they double each other. Sometimes they don't. But it's like, how the hell do they know they're going to? It's like just 20 minutes into a song. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, they're both playing the same thing. So that stuff blows my mind. The time signatures are insane. So you just sit there like in a car zoning out driving down a highway, and I was like, at any point in time I could easily like
now
lose complete focus and drive off the highway.
Was this premeditated? Because that is an interesting pick to have ready to go for a car ride like that. So tell me about the thought process.
It wasn't in fact I was driving, it was pouring, and I knew the drive was going to be 3 hours. And I was like, oh. So I kind of didn't want to listen to much with words. I almost did want to be able to focus on what I was doing, but have something going on. And the raga, like that general music construct.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? And of course I couldn't remember what it was called. So like driving 85 miles an hour, like on 95, I'm like, yeah, let me try to search up on Spotify. I was like, this is just a commercial waiting to happen. like Steven drove off a highway, you know, like that sort of stupid thing.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was amazing. There is an artist named Accuse Me. That's his stage name. Has an album called Lines. Fantastic. And Dan Hasty and Taryn Ector with an album called Crows 8. Those are things I've been listening to. You probably, apart from Ravi Shankar, I probably hadn't heard any of those albums, which is amazing.
No, I haven't. That was,
but that's, well, I'll come good, back man. To you though. I was also listening to the Almonds and Black Rose.
Oh, thank God.
And a whole bunch of familiar stuff. He said,
good,
thank
good.
God. That's amazing.
You know, speaking of the Black Rose, I got to tell you, I'm not loving the new song because
I haven't even heard it.
You know, what's funny is you probably have, and you don't even know it because it's basically like a rehash of all the old songs put into one song. And, you know, they put out some new music. I think I told you, I saw them when they opened for Aerosmith, which, by the way, Aerosmith just like relaunched his tour because he got himself healthy again.
Oh, Steven Tyler.
Yeah. But they just got the rest of their tour going for their farewell tour here. But anyway, when I saw Black Crowes, you know, again, I wasn't terribly impressed because I think they're just well past what they should be doing. And I think they actually played that song that night. It might have even been like the close. And when I heard it, I thought it was something that they had put out like 20, 30 years ago. But no, it's brand new music, and it just, it sounds like all the old stuff. It doesn't feel original. It really
Where
just
did you hear
feel...
it? On the radio?
It's on the radio, yeah.
I can assure you I haven't listened to it because I listen to the radio.
That's true.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not, and frankly, I'm probably better off because, like, you know, and it was like, you want to laugh? Do you know that, like, contrived Beatles song they came up with?
Yes.
I haven't heard that.
Really?
I refuse to listen to it.
I could see you saying that.
I refuse to listen to it because I don't want some like cobbled together 40-year-old song that like AI can. I don't want that to be my current impression of the Beatles. I just don't want to hear it.
I get it.
And with all due respect to Jimmy Page and Robert Plant, like when they did like Walking into Clarksdale, dude, I get that you're an artist and you're ever questing and you're writing. That's cool. I give you a lot of respect for that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're playing that at a show where everyone's expecting Zeppelin tunes, like expect people to go to the bathroom when you play those tunes. It's kind of the same thing, right? Yeah. No, again, I know that seems disrespectful. It's not, right? Mm-hmm. I'm still there to see the show. But I didn't listen to the Beatles song either. So here's what I will say. So I got a gig coming up in a month. Like, you know, I was asked to play this charity event, which I think is going to be super, super cool. I shaved my head for one of it at the end of last year. And I was asked, somebody was like, hey, would you do rock for a cure? I was like, yeah, sure. What's it all about? And it's basically like me again, like opening a show for 40 minutes. And I was like, oh, here we go again.
Fantastic.
And so I have been listening to, I don't want to just rehash stuff. But you were like, you practicing for the gig? I was like, I don't know, man. I got like 40 songs in my back pocket. I just got to figure out which ones I want to play.
Sure.
But you also, you know, it's going to be a very diverse crowd. It's going to be very young people, like in their early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Probably people, well, I'll say my age because I'm older than you, but like our age and older.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta vary that up. And for 40 minutes, 45 minutes, I probably need what? Like 10, 12, 13 songs?
Sure.
And I'm expecting a stage rush and of course encore, you know, cries of encore naturally.
Yeah, of course.
So I need 2-3 encores, of course. But I've been listening to a lot of those songs, practicing those as well, trying to get ready. So I will say this, man. I was on a website and I'll give my man Craig a shout out. It's called The Guitar Broker. And I don't know, I did some bad things, man. Like I bought a couple of vintage Martins and like, they're so fantastic.
Yep.
He was awesome. It was awesome to deal with him. So of course that's, you know, you and I know the amount of guitars any guitarist needs is N+1.
N+1.
Whatever you have now, plus one more at least.
Oh yeah.
So that also holds when you buy one, 2 weeks later, you see another one on a vintage website, you got to get that one too, right? So, I mean, but I haven't bought a guitar, you and I know this, in like 5 years, 6-7 years. It's been a long time.
That's true, actually,
Since like the early, well, actually it's been 4 years, I guess. Mm. Like the early days of the pandemic when I got like a 30-40% discount on a guitar because no one was buying guitars.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I've been doing, man. For the most part, that's, you know, I will tell you this and I'll kick it over to you. I have vowed to start playing way, 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 way more electric guitar for the next like 90 days.
Minimum. Yeah.
Like I know practicing for the gig, cool, but I don't play the electric guitar enough and I'm going to hit that pretty hard in the next couple, 3-4 months. So
you're doing the gig acoustic though, right?
Yeah. It'll just be me and the guitar and the mic. That's it.
I love it. It's fantastic.
Unless you want to come up and play a song with me, which would be cool, but I'd love to have you.
Oh, man. I wish I were that good, but I don't
think
so.
That's an absurd statement, which we'll talk about offline here. But anyway, go ahead. Keep going. Yeah. So anyway, what about you, man? What are you playing?
So, yeah, my playing, it was interesting. You know, for a while there, I was really hung up on the acoustic. And I would say in particular two songs, first of which was Bother by Corey Taylor, frontman of Slipknot.
Yeah.
And for whatever reason, you know, it was funny. I think that song was from like the Spider-Man soundtrack from like the early 2000 or something like that.
Really?
And yeah. And I always liked that song. It definitely like brings me back to a certain period. But he does some interesting finger work in that tune that I always wanted to learn. So I did spend some time, pulled it together. It was pretty cool. So that was a fun song
to
play.
Very cool.
Yeah. And then the second one was Swing Life Away by Rise Against, which is like their light song. Everything else for them is much heavier, much faster. And this was the one song that I always felt like when it came on the radio, you know, like even my wife would leave it on, you know, because it was a very harmless song. It was very nice. So I was like, I should be able to learn this. So that was a really cool song. Pick that one up.
I don't know that track.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. And the band, like, they themselves, I'll put them on for, like, workout-style music. But this particular song, I thought was just, like, a nice acoustic little tune.
Oh, so, nice. All right. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
That was good. But I didn't really learn too many other songs during this period. Otherwise, you know, I picked up my electric guitars a few times, made some noise, nice. Didn't really like learn anything in particular, probably noodling too much, if I'm being honest. and I'm also probably relying way too heavily on distortion right now, It's such an easy trap to fall into.
It is.
And then especially when you're only practicing for like short intervals, it's like, well, I have 10 minutes. Do I want to make it as loud and aggressive as I can?
The answer is yes.
So that's where I've been with guitar playing. Listening.
You want to laugh? I'll jump in real quick. Yeah. I saw Eddie Van Halen the other day on YouTube.
Okay.
And he literally said, you know, I never used a distortion pedal. Think about that for a minute.
Wow.
He said it was his guitar, his hands, and the amplifier. And he was like, if you have a good amp, you don't need distortion.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, how the hell can that be true? Right? Like, how does he get all that crazy tone?
Yeah.
Anyway, all that to say, listen, if Eddie Van Halen is making that guitar sound like that without any pedals, I think that's probably a lesson for all of us to say, like, we probably can too. But anyway.
Very cool. And then I also picked up some good concert tickets. So, let's see, for I think it was Christmas or my birthday. Gosh, it's been a while now either way. But Christina snagged me some tickets for the Pumpkins and Green Day who are touring together. So that'll be awesome.
Nice.
We actually did get tickets, get this, for Creed.
Of course you did.
In the summer of 99 tour. And this is actually, I'll tell you what though, this is going to make you mad. You know who's playing with them?
Is it Tremonti?
Well, even better than that, because yes, Tremonti's playing, but the other band in the lineup that is
Tremonti plays in Creed. I thought they had like a huge falling out.
He's back. He's back.
That's pretty cool.
They're
all
kicking it. It's going to be awesome. But the other band that's going to be there with them, Tonic. And I know you love Tonic, and I feel like for me to utter them in the same sentence as Creed, probably for you, is like, what the fuck is Tonic doing?
You know, no, it isn't. I can't say I dislike Creed. I can't say that. And I know we had the episode, and I was like, Mike, you sure you want to do this?
Yeah.
And you were like, I do. And I was like, you know what? That's what In Defense Of is all about.
That's right.
You know what? I will say that's going to be a good show because Tonic kicks fucking ass. Live.
I've seen
them a whole bunch of times. They're really, really good. Yeah.
I'm really excited about that. So we got that. And then I surprised my wife with Sarah McLachlan tickets. So we're going to do that. I know. That was a big one. And
Jesus.
Then finally,
it's going to be like that, like PETA or like that, you know. That like animal cruelty commercial, you know, like,
yeah, exactly.
You're going to be hearing Angel. Everyone's going to start crying and like hugging their dogs. Like, holy shit, man.
Yep. That's crazy. We got one more. We got Cage the Elephant. So I'm actually excited about that. They have
who the fuck is Cage the Elephant?
Oh, see, you know, they're hit. All right. Ready? I am not a lead vocalist, but let's try my best.
Oh, wow. Here we go.
Ain't no rest for the wicked. Money don't grow on trees.
I don't think I know him, dude.
Come on, you know that song.
I swear to God, I don't listen to the radio, brother. Like that might be the reason I don't know it.
All right, well, that was their big hit, and they came out with another album recently, Neon Pill. It's actually pretty good. So I don't care if they lean pretty heavily into the newer stuff. It's great. And then I started diving into a little bit more of their work that I wasn't as familiar with. Pretty tight. So
nice.
So we got Cage later on in the year.
Good for you, man.
And all that with a 2 month old at home. So we're gonna have to find a babysitter that's
you'll
going
figure
to,
it out.
Yeah, make
you'll
it happen for
it
us.
Yeah,
so we'll see.
Dude, I have Billy Joel tickets for the end of April.
Get
I'm gonna be away. And I bought those tickets before he announced that it was like coming towards the end. So, you know, I'm gonna have to move them, unfortunately. But
wow,
we'll figure it out.
Yeah,
I'll figure it out. Yeah.
Right.
Anyway, well, that sounds good, man. I mean, you always got a lot of live music you go to. I give you a lot of credit.
We're trying, I gotta say, there's one thing I love about my wife. Like she's totally into it, same way I am. So
It's amazing.
concerts are big for us, and it's definitely something we can get behind. So yeah, it's good
Yeah,
stuff.
I was trying to get to a whole bunch of shows, and it just wasn't working out for a variety of reasons. But there were a whole bunch that I was trying to get to.
Sure.
We'll get to it another time, right? Like
Yeah.
Marcus King, you know who Marcus
Oh
King is?
yeah.
You heard of
Oh
this
yeah.
guy? So he was playing at a theater in Port Chester. Is it the Capitol Theater in Port
Yes.
Chester, New York?
Yep.
And I just couldn't make it work. I was so pissed because I would love to have seen him live. I was turned on to him recently,
Yeah, he's
and
great.
of course. But anyway, another time,
All
another
right.
time, my friend.
All right, good stuff. Well, all of that
Absolutely.
said, we're about 20 minutes deep here. Let's get into the meat of the episode. As I said before, we're going to discuss vocalists, lead singers, front persons, whatever we want to call them.
Yeah,
Yeah,
nice.
yeah, yeah. And of course, as always, Steve, I'd like you to kick us off tonight. So
I don't know, Mike. I'm unprepared.
I had a feeling. I had a
I didn't
feeling.
realize that you'd kick off. All right,
Yeah.
with a bullet. You ready? Number one, Elvis, dude. Go. What do you got?
Interesting.
What do you mean
Elvis.
interesting? Fucking Elvis. Who else could be a front man? The guy was amazing.
Okay. All right. So I think I see where we're headed here. So
No, you
this is
don't. You
okay.
don't, because I'm gonna spin kick the shit out of you tonight. You have no idea what's going
Oh
on.
man. What am I in for? What
No,
am I
I'm
in
kidding.
for?
But Elvis, dude, I know what you're thinking of. I'm just thinking the person in the front, you could say lead, say, it could be voice, it could be showmanship, or
Okay.
showpersonship, if you want to say that. That's where, but dude, from the person who was the reason people showed up, or
It is true.
if you really said who else was in the band, when he first came through, most people couldn't talk through that,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
But dude, out like, come on. From a showmanship perspective, voice,
That is
he was
true.
unbelievable. Whether it was early in the days and he was, it was all gyrating and Elvis the Pelvis and all this. Well, later on, where he was sequined suit, sweet hair, fucking sidekicks and shit. Like, the guy was unbelievable, man.
You bring up a great point, and I love that you approach this differently than I
I would
do.
say points, plural, but that's just me.
Points,
Keep going.
points,
Yeah.
yes. And even if we had to bucket him into the vocalist category, I mean, the guy had great pipes, right? I mean, he's certainly,
Unbelievable, dude.
yeah. And I think that was a huge part of the presence. Obviously, when people imitate the man, it's a very distinct voice, so it's certainly something that stands out.
Still alive today, man. The guy's been dead
I'll.
50 years, right? And people are still, thank you very much, right? Like all that, you're like, come on, man.
I'll allow it. I like
Oh, good. I'm glad. Thank God.
it.
All right, hit me. What do you got? I can't wait to see what you're gonna start with.
Right. Well, as you might imagine, I'm going in more of the vocalist direction here today. And as always, I've kind of grouped my artists into different areas. The first couple I'm going to hit on, I'm going to say these are going to be very obvious for me because they're people I talk about
And
often.
probably me too, but keep going.
Yeah.
If
And
you
then I'll.
you're gonna,
I
I know
will
where
get
you're
into
going.
some better ones. I will get into some better ones, I promise.
Yep.
But the first one is going to be Chris Cornell.
Oh,
And
I had him later on. Good, nice
yep,
work. Yeah,
yep.
nice work.
And for our audience out there, you all know him well, and I'm sure you've heard us talk ad nauseum. And I often reference this particular album called The Songbook. And it's something where, again, if you haven't spent the time to listen to, just do it. It's so incredible. It was this compilation that really highlighted his strengths, I think, because it was later in his career. You didn't expect this out of him, and he performs songs from Audioslave, Soundgarden, Temple. Like, it was great. And I think it's just him up there with a guitar and doing all these live shows. Now, you could go and reference, all the old classics. You could go back to nice demonstrations of him belting out tunes in Soundgarden or going to the Temple of the Dog songs, right? And, Call Me a Dog, The Day I Tried to Live, Say Hello to Heaven, all these great tunes over the years where he really showcases his vocal range. I think it just speaks to how talented that guy was.
Unbelievable.
And I think he'll just live on forever in like this pantheon of rock vocalists that are just untouchable. I mean, the guy was incredible.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Yeah, he is on my list. I didn't lead because these are in no particular order. But yeah, no, dude, I think it's brilliant. Like I said, I had it on mine. C couldn't agree more.
Love it.
All right, I'm gonna go traditional. I'm gonna go Ozzy.
Ooh, good call. All right. I didn't have him. I like it though.
What? I mean,
Yeah.
dude, so you're in Sabbath and you're crushing it. You get kicked out of Sabbath. You start biting the heads off bats and shit. You have, you're snorting lines of ants with Motley Crue. Like the guy, like he somehow showed up and sang pretty much every night, dude. His voice is unbelievable. His charisma is unbelievable. It wasn't always his words. Geezer Butler generally wrote the words in Sabbath.
I didn't know that.
And and then I mean on his own I'm sure he did some of that, but I mean as a showman goes, holy shit, man, you could do way worse than Ozzy. So
You know
there's
what's kind of funny is, and I never really like thought about it this way, and I know we've talked about Sabbath before, we've talked about Ozzy, we did a whole episode, we even, did a versus with Sabbath and Metallica, I
oh
think.
yeah I took
But
Sabbath. You were like, you
I
will? I was like, of course I take Sabbath, what are you crazy?
but what's interesting is the way you phrased it, that and I know this is true, that Ozzy got kicked out of Sabbath.
He
Which
did.
is but if you just stop and pause and think about that for a second, and you have this like this heavy rock band over here that is true rock and roll musicians,
Yeah, slash metal. Yeah,
to kick
almost, yeah.
someone out of your band for being a bit too much, like what must Ozzy have been like that you had to get him out of the band, right? It's
Well,
outrageous because they must have had such a deep line to begin with. And then it's like, whoa, this guy's too much for us. We got to get rid of Ozzy. It's outrageous.
He was a disaster.
Disaster had to be.
And they all said it too, right? Bill Ward, it was the drummer, was his best friend. And he was like, I basically had to break the news to him. And they said, like, it came to the point, like Geezer Butler tells the story. He was like, it was a bit like Scarface. You would get like a cereal box of Coke
Oh
and
my
like put it in
God.
a bowl
Oh my
and just
God.
like, so he's like, now if he's recounting that,
Yeah.
and they kicked Ozzy out, like what was Ozzy doing? And
Right.
then, but that was, think about it like this. So Steven Adler got kicked out of Guns N' Roses. What do you think that guy, like when you got Slash in your
I'm
band,
saying. Yeah,
what the hell was he doing? But yeah, no, I hear you. But yeah, anyway, Ozzy, yeah, dude, I think he came out of that shadow
Yeah.
of Tony Iommi and Ward and Geezer Butler and made his own way, right? And then he had Randy Rhoads and Jakey Lee and and of course, it's his the newest guy's his name is escaping me, but it doesn't matter. Zach Wilde, rather. And then so it's anyway, so that's my pick. Ozzy,
Very
unbelievable.
cool. Very cool. All right, I'm gonna go expected and boring, but I love him, Jason Isbell.
I knew you were
And
gonna go with
he, I
him.
had to put him
Nice,
on here somewhere. And truthfully, I mean, the reason that, I have him on here even as a vocalist is because when you first introduced him to me,
I can't believe that. That's the I can't believe that's the
you
way
it
things
is.
went on
And
that
you
one. And you
said,
like him so much more than I
and I
do.
quote, you said his voice is as big as a house.
It
And
is.
when you said that, I was like, interesting, let me take a look. And just to again reference a few songs for the audience out there, Cover Me Up. While I don't really like that song, I think
It's
it's actually a
brilliant,
nice
though.
vocal demonstration.
Unbelievable.
Traveling Alone, for whatever reason, that chorus always gets me. It's like I can't even sound good singing that song in the shower. It's so hard to sing, I think at least. And then Live
Yeah.
Oak, if you've never heard Live Oak, he
I
does
know
an
that track.
acapella intro. And I think anybody who can do that is just incredible. And then obviously, How to Forget. I know you love that song.
I play that
It's a
song
great
at the gig.
tune. And
Yeah.
that's some tough vocals on that one, too.
Very
So,
hard. The chorus is brutal.
yeah.
The chorus is brutal. No, dude, listen, it's really good. The timbre of his voice is unbelievable. It's super powerful, really good range. It's very nice phrasing. Yeah, he's fantastic. Yeah. So yeah, we're kind of interplaying here. It's a mixture of frontman slash vocalist. But no, I'll give you Isbell. He definitely. I mean, shit. The name of the band is Jason Isbell and the 400.
He's a
Man, I
front
mean,
man. He's
he
quite a
is the
front
guy.
man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna jump to one I think might be a surprise for you.
Okay.
I'm gonna go The Boss, man, Bruce Springsteen.
Beautiful. Well done. I like it.
Because and like, listen, I don't disrespect Bruce. I
Yep.
happen, in fact, I've really started to like him a lot more as I've carried on in my musical journey. I love when
Yeah.
people say the word journey.
I hear
I'm like, journey sucks, you suck. But so yeah, dude, Bruce, I mean, he's the leader of that band.
Yeah.
you can shift people around. My friend Mark always talks about, you know, Vinnie Mad Dog Collette, like the original drummer, and was it David Sanshua? I think it was like the original piano player. So you can shift all the pieces around, but the East, like Bruce is Bruce, right? And like people are going to see that fucking guy. Let's call it what it is.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
He's getting old, dude. He's got like hip replacement. I mean,
I know.
And just his desire for all those years, 2, 3 hours, 4 hours, like he was like, people have to have a transformative moment when they come to my show. That's a fucking front man if I've ever heard of one, man. You know, like, so there it is. That's what.
And I think he's actually touring right now because he was sick for a while.
Right. And yeah,
now
I think he
got himself back into good health. God bless him. And I think he's out there doing his thing. So, yeah.
So there it is, the boss. I don't know how you feel about that one, but.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it's one of those bucket list ones that I'm probably never going to get to see. Always wanted to, but man, it's just,
we'll figure it out.
People can't afford those tickets. It's just outrageous. Well, outrageous.
Neither can we, but we'll go.
We'll sneak our way in.
Yeah, we'll
all right. I'm going to go in a different direction this time. We're finally done with some of the boring stuff. We'll get you into the good ones.
Let's go.
So I'm actually going to go Stevie Nicks.
Dude, I had that too. I think that's a brilliant call.
Okay. So not only is she an excellent front woman, but from the perspective of really her vocal demonstration, I think she set the stage for so many other musicians that came after, the likes of Susan Tedeschi, right? When I think about Susan Tedeschi, I think about, you know, like Bonnie Raitt and Stevie Nicks.
Son of a bitch,
I think Stevie Nicks really set that foundation. You can go back to Dreams, Edge of 17. You know, I love when she does like a duet, like with Tom Petty.
Yeah,
she works so well with those folks, right? And then obviously all the other big hits, Rihanna and Landslide. I mean, this is all stuff that we know about.
But I
think she was one of those pivotal voices that when you hear it, number one, it's incredibly distinct. Number two, I think I have a preference for, it's funny, like I think I like my female musicians to sound a little raspier and like lower in tone. And then I think I like the male musicians to actually be able to get up there and pitch like Chris Cornell. So it's kind of funny. Yeah. But no, Stevie Nicks, man.
It's a good call. I had her as well. I think that's fantastic. Her ability to do all those crazy, like the vocal shifting in Rhiannon, like you're saying, is fantastic. I think that's great. I will stay with that sort of theme, and I'm going to go Ann Wilson. How do you feel about that?
Ooh, nice. Yes, absolutely, dude.
I mean, dude, I love her voice.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, everyone knows Barracuda, right?
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, would you hear that? Or Magic Man, it's like her voice is unreal. And of course, Nancy playing the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
But same genre. And listen, you already said Bonnie Raitt. I had her.
Dude, I have her too later on. Yeah,
you dropped her name. And I was like, okay, I guess that's disqualifying her now. But I'd say Ann Wilson. Sounds like you agree. So hit me.
Beautiful. Well, let's stay on Bonnie Raitt for a minute. So okay. I think that's great because, again, she, like I said, she was on my list too.
So good, and
I think it's funny because I'm sure, you know, from a pop culture moment perspective, that scene in Step Brothers when Will Ferrell is singing, you know, Something to Talk About.
Give Something to Talk About.
It's so great. Yeah. But Bonnie Raitt,
like, dude, your voice is a cross between Fergie and Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the greatest line of all time. It's absolutely fucking brilliant. Yeah
man. Anyway. Thing Called Love. I mean, you know, it's just like such a, again, defining, distinct voice, set the stage for so many other musicians to come. And like I said, I think I have this like weird preference for that style of singing. So it's pretty cool. But yeah.
Well, dude, I will. Okay. So I'll second that emotion, as it were.
I love it.
And the original Bonnie Raitt album, the original one is the first one rather, is so, so good. And Susan Tedeschi or Tedeschi, however you want to pronounce it, essentially references that as her like go-to album.
Oh, gotcha.
Like the thing in a huge way, like influenced her, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she's got like album after album after album, which is crazy. Right?
Sure.
But so it's literally called Bonnie Raitt, 1971. And dude, what she doesn't get checked for enough, her voice is amazing. She could play fucking slide guitar in yes. a huge I forgot way, about that. And that's nobody true. References that.
You're right.
Yep. So that's a great part of it too. All right, so I guess we both check Bonnie Raitt on that one. where am I going to go here, Michael? You know what? I'm just going to do it because he's here. Like, how do you not pick Robert Plant? That's fucking ridiculous.
All right.
You know what I mean?
May as well.
Because I'm not going to pick his opposite number in another English band that everyone, yep. you know, wants to compare him to. I take Plant over the other one. No disrespect to my boy.
Yep.
But yeah, Zeppelin, man. That's, I've got the moxie when it comes to that.
I can't even imagine what it must have been like for people that got to see Zepp in their heyday. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
Incredible.
Like, Song Remains the Same was filmed at MSG. I mm-hmm. want to say, so when did, so Houses of the Holy, I want to say came out in like 74. I'm going to check mm-hmm. myself on that one.
Mm-hmm.
But that album, what, 1973, March 28, 1973. So, dude, that was at Madison Square. Can you imagine? And Robert Plant's like, we've managed to get an album out since the last time.
Yeah.
It's called Houses of the Holy. You're like, fuck me. Can you imagine? Like, first hearing Song Remains right, the Same, right. like, at the Garden. I'd be like, wow. This is incredible. Anyway, but Jack Black makes a really funny point. He said this on the Howard Stern show. He's kind of like, look. But he's like, of course, Zeppelin is, in my opinion, the greatest band of all time. He's like, but Plant could never hit the notes when he was live. Who's with me? And like, nobody went out of their way to agree with
That's
him.
So funny.
It is true. We have yeah. to admit that. Though. Yeah. Like, those are hard things yeah. to hit live. And night after night after night, I'm sure it gets very difficult. But anyway, he, for me, was a front man. I think he had a lot of the mystique of Zeppelin. So I don't mm-hmm. know your thoughts on that. But
100%. Right there with you.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Pleasure.
All right, I'm going to take us into the world of arena rock.
Nice.
And I'm going there because I really think from like the perspective of not only front people, but vocalists in particular, it's such an underrated area of music. And we usually talk about these bands in kind of a grouping. And I'm sure we'll probably hit on a lot of the same ones as we go into this.
Yeah.
But the vocal demonstration and ability by these lead singers was like out of this world at that time. Yeah. So the first one I'm going to go with here is Lou Gramm of Foreigner.
Yeah.
And
nice.
And I Want to Know What Love Is, Waiting for a Girl Like You, Cold
this
as Ice,
is amazing.
Jukebox oh, Hero, yeah. Hot Blooded, Urgent, Feels Like the yeah, First Time. Yeah. These songs are incredible. And the vocal work on these things is just I don't know how this period like got by because everyone seemed to have these incredible chops at singing and Lou Gramm
had to,
right at the
you?
Forefront.
You had to. You had no.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't have some like out front, amazing, you know, front man or whatever, or vocalist, like, yeah, mm-hmm. you didn't do well.
Right.
That song Blue Morning, Blue Day is still to this day, like one of my favorite tracks. And that's on the album Double Vision, but.
Yeah. I mean, hit after hit too, right? And
oh, yeah.
I mean, arena rock is arena rock for a reason, I think. And it's just like these nice. Voices fill the arena, you know?
Dude, that's
and
fantastic.
Amazing.
That's fantastic. I will kind of, it's not arena, but I'll
okay.
go down. So I'm going to go Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden. Talk
oh,
to
wow.
me. What do you got?
Interesting.
Dude, when he's just like, Aces High. Like, dude, the guy had like this crazy operatic voice. I heard that. My cousin Jimmy, I would never forget the live After Death CD, right? It was like a triple mm-hmm. CD. And it opened, because they're a British band, of course, it opened with Winston Churchill's speech.
Okay.
It was like, we shall go on to the end, right? We will go on, like we will fight them with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. Like,
yeah,
we'll
yeah.
never surrender. And then it goes right into Aces High. If I was in the crowd, I'd probably be like, I am absolutely going to upturn somebody's chair right now while they're in it, because I would be so pumped up. And then they played Aces High and the guitar work was unbelievable, but Bruce Dickinson out front,
mm-hmm.
just crushing super high. You want to talk about a guy who could sing high, and it
sure.
was powerful.
Yep.
And he, dude, the guy flies the airplane when they tour, which
Wait,
is even cool.
Really? No,
I
way.
Swear to God.
What?
I swear to God, flies like a fucking 777. He's on the guy flies the airplane.
Get
it's
out of
so
here.
Cool.
I did
you
not
have
know
to
that.
Check it out. You have to check it out. Anyway, Bruce Dickinson. I don't know if you know much about him, but
I don't actually.
Guy was, yeah, unbelievable.
I will actually go listen to some Iron Maiden now as a result. I know a couple of the big songs, but I certainly don't know it all. So
I mean, anything you'll figure it out. You'll figure it out real quick. Like Number of the Beat, whatever. You'll figure it out. Amazing. So there's Bruce Dickinson. Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna stay in the world of arena rock, and I'm going to go with Brad Delp of Boston.
Wow, now, that's a good one.
Unfortunately, took his life.
Yeah, he did. Real
07.
Sad.
But I mean, number one, that Boston album, everybody knows it. It's
of
like
course.
One of the best albums of all time. Peace of Mind, yeah, yeah. Smoking, Let Me Take You Home Tonight.
Smoking.
And then Why Not? More Than a Feeling, right? Like everything on there was just so good, and so much in line and in spirit with arena rock. It's like, how could you not include Brad Delp on this list?
Dude, the funny thing about that band, you got Tom Scholes, like, who basically created that sound. The guy was a fucking engineer,
mm-hmm.
and created like all of that hardware that makes the guitars all sound like that, and the crazy panning of voices and the overlaid guitars.
Sure.
I think I want to say the guy went to MIT.
Oh really? Wow.
Yeah. Delp's voice did a lot, of course, but Scholes's guitar work, like it was unreal.
Yeah.
Unreal. So I totally, that's really good. I did not have that.
Thanks, man.
That is really, he went to MIT and then worked at Polaroid. That's what it was.
That's so cool.
Engineer. All right, cool. I will give you that one. At fair play. Fair play. You know where I'm going to go? I'm going to leave some of these out. How do you feel about me saying Scott Weiland, Stone Temple Pilots?
I thought about him this past week, and I was like, does he belong on this list?
He
and I
fucking
was super
does,
torn.
Because he led two bands. He was out in front of Stone Temple Pilots. He was out in front of Velvet Revolver. No shirt, leather pants, fucking the guys out there, you know what I mean? I don't know. Things, Slither.
Slither.
I mean,
yeah.
How do you not? How do you not
all right,
say
so
that guy?
Let me ask you. So we're talking, you know, obviously the conversation here is evolving as we go. We're building the plane as we're flying it, so to speak. The front man versus the vocalist aspect of it. Do you feel as if, from a vocals perspective, and we look at his peers in that time period and era, where does he stand amongst them?
I think his vocals are unbelievable.
Really? Okay.
Unbelievable, dude. So if you take Core, don't forget, people used to call them Stone Temple Pearl Jam.
Yes.
Well, I'm probably older than you.
Yeah.
But when I was in high school, it kind of, like, the first two albums, you had 10, you had Core.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of took one or the other.
Okay.
You could like both, but people felt that they were like carbon copies of each other. And I was like, they're anything but. And then I want to say it was Versus and Purple. And I take Purple all day long, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then Vitalogy came out, and you either you stayed with Pearl Jam or you didn't, which I didn't. And I stayed with STP. Dude, Weiland's voice is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know. You want to say as the range of Eddie? Probably not. I don't think he has that screaming capability.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so distinct. It's husky. He's singing plush, like, wah! Like, it's those are not easy notes to hit, dude.
Yeah, yeah.
So I say he was an amazing front man and an amazing vocalist.
Wow.
How do you like me now?
Talk okay. All right. I will. I appreciate and respect that, man. I respect your opinion. And I think you're right about a lot of this type of stuff. So
well, I don't know if I'm right about it, but that's my feeling on it. So there you go. Yeah.
All right. Cool. So I am neck deep in the world of arena rock, and I'm going to stay there.
Love it. Wow. You go, you're thematic. You're very thematic at
the
moment.
The vocalist there just got me, dude. They
just
got
me. Yeah, it's good, dude.
All right. So we're going to go with Paul Rodgers.
Yes.
Both Free and Bad Company.
That's a good one.
And Feel Like Making Love, Bad Company, Can't Get Enough, Rock and Roll Fantasy, just incredible songs. And again, I think between him, Lou Gramm, Brad Delp, like, we're basically talking about the same person. But it's,
dude,
it's incredible.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, the two thing, like, first of all, when you hear like Company,
yeah, yeah,
you're like, oh Yeah. Wow. But
here
it's
he
like,
comes.
in my rock and roll fantasy. Oh my God. I'm going to listen to that the minute we close this. I'm
yeah.
Gonna, it's this goes to 11. Like, it's going to be loud.
Yep.
I'm just going to say it like that.
Yep.
Dude, that's such a good call. Paul Rogers is such a good call.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I fucking hate you at the same time, but I really don't. I hate you so much that I love you.
I know it. I know it.
All right, dude. Here, I'm going to melt your face a little bit because
I'm due for a good face melting. What do you got?
That's amazing. So frontman, yeah?
Yeah.
I am going to go Miles Davis. You're probably like, this guy has lost his fucking mind. Here's why. Here's why. I said frontman. I didn't say vocalist, and I made that deliberate. Miles led all those bands.
Uh-huh.
Instantly recognizable. Changed the genre, played the trumpet. He was always the guy everyone went to see.
Mm.
And he was like the maestro.
Got okay.
John McLaughlin in the band.
Yep.
Had fucking John Coltrane in the band. Like, he had why am I blanking? Of course, Chick Corea. Like, dude, Miles was the shit.
Mm.
And playing a genre completely bent it from when it was like cool jazz. Like, anyway, so out in front as the leader of a group, vocal or not, I'm going Miles Davis. That probably you have no face left. I know.
Face is melted. I'm gonna have to take your word for this, buddy. I gotta be honest.
Jazz is too elitist.
Yeah,
for you.
I'm not as astute in the and well studied in the area.
Every time I say classical or jazz, people run for the fucking doors, man. It's so funny.
You
anyway,
know, you could actually probably make things up and tell them to me and say, yeah, no. That was in jazz. And I'd be like, that sounds incredible. Sure.
You were like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's why I tried to stress front, well, or leader of a band rather than, mm-hmm. you know, vocalist. But
smart.
I deliberately diverted there. So there you go.
I need to be smarter next time when we're building an episode to listen to what you're saying and read between the lines and be like, is he trying to change these words or is he going with something deliberate?
No,
here?
Listen, you could have made it whatever you, that's what makes it interesting.
That's right? What so makes the Music and Theory podcast, Music and Theory podcast.
Yeah,
it really is. It's incredible.
Don't try to put what we do in a box.
You really can't.
All right, what else you got?
I have one more arena rock and then I got two others for afterward.
Do it.
So last arena rock, I'm going to go with Stephen Perry of Journey.
Oh, I mean, dude, that's brilliant. I had it too, but that's
Wheel in the Sky, Separate Ways, Open Arms.
The list
goes on forever. And Journey is not Journey without Stephen Perry. And I mean, I actually, as much as I don't like putting them into the bucket of arena rock, because I think they do a lot more than just like the arena rock genre. And I know buckets are, they suck it anyway, but
right.
I think they do fit squarely in there from the era and the time period and the people they were kind of competing against. A lot of it was very similar, but Stephen Perry stands, I think, above many of the names I've already mentioned.
I gotta tell you, man, Steve Perry crushes that, and people don't give him enough credit for, like, you know, We Are the World.
Mm.
His section in that was fantastic too.
Mm-hmm.
But
true,
wow, Steve Perry, of course. Of
yeah.
course, man.
Yeah.
Of course. How do you not say Steve Perry? I am going to go David Byrne. What say you?
Nice. I like that, dude.
Talking Heads.
Yeah.
Dude, the guy was that whole band.
Very
now,
recognizable voice.
I love everyone
yep.
else in that band.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very good voice, too.
Yeah.
And Stop Making Sense, that document, like that kind of like the film they made has been on a lot. If you haven't seen it, and if the audience, like if the rhythm section hasn't seen it, you got to go see it. They basically like work out during the movie. He's like, the energy is unbelievable. Now granted, were they fueled by something in the 80s? Maybe, I don't know. Let's just say it like that. I don't know if they were doing drugs or whatever, but dude, his voice, his lyrics, his showmanship, the performance that he did, that just the lighting, they were all sort of like art majors, you know what I'm saying? Or graphic design. Like, they were very aware of all that stuff. They all came to New York for it. I want to say they all went to NYU. I could be wrong.
Oh, wow.
But anyway, I got to say David Byrne. What say you?
I like that. I obviously probably could have went in a few different directions had I gone, I thought about that a little bit more, but I love that as a call. Yeah, I'm kind of mad at myself now because I feel like I should have expected
my list. Well,
trust
me, you got
like
two on mine.
This is great.
God damn it.
This is great.
Yeah, exactly. Nice work.
No, great call, Steve. Great call.
Thanks, man.
Okay, I am going to go with Jeff Lynne of ELO.
Nice.
Mr. Blue Sky, Don't Bring Me Down, Evil Woman. I mean, this guy's
showdown too, right?
Like, yeah, I mean, he's so good. And honestly, he actually wrote for quite a few people that I think it doesn't always get enough recognition, but he really helped to, I think, inspire a lot of the great music we heard during that time period. And you know, he worked a lot with Petty, as we know, worked a lot with even like Traveling Wilburys, right?
I was gonna
like,
say, I mean, dude, people forget he was in the Traveling Wilburys.
The guy got around, he knew people, and you know, part of the Harrison tribute that time, right? All those great things. But Jeff Lynne's vocals are so stand out to me, really made that band. And I think he actually might be touring too, come to think of it. Could be one last window to see him as well. I think he might be on his way out from the perspective of retiring.
Well, I mean, a lot of them are getting old now.
Crazy. But yeah, Jeff Lynne.
That's a great call, dude. That's a great call. I got like three or four more. So if you want me to balance them out, like I can give you two here.
Yeah,
and there.
Give me a couple.
I'm going to go Bono, you too.
Nice. Excellent.
Because, dude, like that guy's, you want to talk about a voice. Holy shit, dude.
Yeah.
He's got, and you know, the whole persona, because when they first came out, they were very, you want to call it, I don't want to say plain, that's unfair, but they were very straightforward, mm-hmm. right? Like, and then came the persona and then like the Fly and all that stuff. Mm. But in the end, it's always been about really good vocals, good music, lyrics, like, and showmanship, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, Concert in the Round, the whole thing, like yep. unbelievable. I'm going to give you a few here. I'm going to go Sting. How do you feel about that?
Awesome. Well done.
Because, like, there are times he's insufferable. Let's call it what it is. And that's why he and Stuart Copeland used to, like, fist fight on stage, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, it's undeniable. His voice is ridiculous. His bass playing is fantastic, of course, at the same time as singing. And that's great. I don't really know how you take that one down.
I never realized, and I think you and I spoke about this probably a couple of years ago, but how, what is it like, Jamaican Rasta style music influenced his playing, his writing,
all of them.
And it's
three
funny
of them,
because like, yeah, with the Police, because you just like, you just don't associate it. And then when you hear that, you start to listen to the music differently. And you're like, oh, I could totally hear that now. And in a lot of the riffs, in a lot of the way he delivers the notes and sings. But I always thought that was interesting. Did you watch Only Murders in the Building?
No.
On Hulu?
So, should I?
It's so good. And Sting makes a guest appearance on one of them.
Of course he does.
He's fantastic in it. It's really good. It's really good.
You know what's really funny, dude? And here's the thing I'll say. Like, he was on the Beato. He was on, like, Rick Beato interviewed him. And mm-hmm. Beato's getting a lot of good.
He really is, Jesus. Right?
Oh, dude, he's blown
up. He's getting
up.
Everybody. Yeah.
But,
I feel like you
Dominic,
and I were on to Beato when he wasn't, like, the biggest deal on YouTube.
Yeah, he was just, he was kind of like a, he was
it's amazing.
He was nascent, right? Yeah. Now he's, well, because, dude, the guy is a bona fide musician.
He's
right?
A genius.
Like,
he's a genius. Yeah.
Totally gets it. And he was a producer, the whole thing. But dude, even in that video Sting, you're like, oh, dude, stop talking, right? Like, you're just like, you're killing me right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Dominic Miller almost just sits there, like, he wrote "Shape of My Heart." I'm sure you know that song.
Yep. Oh yeah.
And he's yet again one of these guys who was like, it was a finger exercise. I'm like, if another one of these fucking people tell me that what they did that became the most brilliant song of all time mm-hmm. was a finger exercise, whether it's like Life in the Fast Lane or Dust in the Wind or Sweet Child of Mine, like enough already. Shape of My Heart was a fucking finger exercise. Like, enough, dude. That's because it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good. And it's so difficult.
Mm-hmm.
He even says, like, there's times where I change it just because it's so difficult. But yeah, you got to do Sting. Dude, I'm gonna hit you with one. I'm gonna go Amy Winehouse.
Nice, dude. I like that, and she definitely falls right into the square in my wheelhouse of like that style of voice. So I'm into it.
Very cool, very jazzy. She loved, and if you watch that documentary, Amy, it just breaks your heart, you know, because you're like, man, she went way too young.
I have not watched that yet.
It's brilliant. And she talks about jazz as being kind of elitist and the musicians kind of like, you know, being very supercilious and looking down at other musicians because it's a very complicated art form, you know?
Sure.
And she was writing, you see her playing the guitar, very complex chords. I'm like, damn, she's playing that? And her voice was great. Very unfortunately tragic, right? Suffered from a lot of demons, but sure. She was fantastic. I got like two or three more, Mike. So why don't you just weave in just so we don't overtake each other here.
All right. So my last one on the list here is Mr. Steve Winwood. And
That's so good, you bastard.
Everything from Spencer Davis times, right, all the way through Traffic and Blind Faith. Obviously his solo work too. I mean, in my opinion, one thing that's always kind of driven me a little crazy is, you know, Clapton is in the Rock Hall for like almost everything he's done.
Yeah.
Winwood should be too, for the amount of efforts that Clapton has put forth. I think it's,
what is he not in?
So Clapton is in as what, solo? He's
well,
in
I'm saying,
for
what is
Cream.
Winwood not in for?
So
yeah, yeah.
He's missing, I think Clapton's in there. Is it three or four times?
Clapton's in there.
Solo,
I think
Cream,
Derek and the Dominoes, and, Cream.
Yeah, and I don't think he's in there for Blind Faith. But Winwood is in there, I believe, solo and probably Traffic.
Or Spencer Davis.
But I feel like he needs to be in there at least the exact same amount as Clapton because, you know, he's coming at it from a different angle, right? I mean, keys and vocals and everything. But a lot of, you know, his success, I think, has been shared with Clapton. And I also think from the perspective of talent, you know, Winwood's incredible. And he's been doing it since he was like, what would we say, 14 years old, something crazy?
It was very young.
Insanely young, right? So I know he gets a ton of credit, but I think he deserves even more than he gets.
Yeah, and Blind Faith is incredible. Not in. I mean, dude, there's probably with one. Actually, I think I'm pretty sure he's in there with Derek and the Dominoes. And now that you think about it, meaning Clapton.
Yeah.
That is very strange. I don't know. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is a very... Actually, now that I think, hold on, man. Are they? I don't know if they are. We'd have to double check that. I thought they were. I could be wrong. But he's in there with Solo and he's in there with Cream.
Yeah.
Clapton.
Yep.
I think that's it. So that is crazy, though. Dude, Steve Winwood is brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. I'll give you like a couple more and then we'll close out. I'm going to go Geddy Lee. How can I not? Rush,
ooh,
right? I got to give him respect.
Yep.
David Lee Roth, man.
Oh, he is the front man.
Diamond Dave, dude.
Yeah.
Unbelievable,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep.
And I'll give you this. I'll give you two more. One unconventional.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say Robert Smith from The Cure. Talk to me.
Wow. Robert Smith from The Cure. Okay.
No, that's not your thing?
You know, I like The Cure to a degree. In terms of vocal quality,
kind of a lilting voice, but dude, as a front person, instantly recognizable.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, okay, I got you. Right. I am going to say this, you're going to be like, I hate you so much. I am going to say Buddy Rich. Now this sounds crazy. Leader of a band. Again, guy played the fucking drums.
Mm-hmm.
His band was Buddy Rich. Like, it was like Buddy Rich. It was essentially his group, the orchestra. Think about that for a minute. As a jazz band player, for the drummer to be the head of the entire orchestra, maybe apart from Gene Krupa, that was unheard of.
Mm-hmm.
And what we will say, the rhythm section can go check this out. Seinfeld used to quote Buddy Rich because they had him recorded just absolutely excoriating people. And I think I've said this before. When he's like, now we'll see how he does up there without all the assistants. Like, and all of those came from Buddy. He just destroys people, right? Like this guy, this is not my kind of guy, right? Or the other one is like, and then we're going to take it outside and I'm going to show you what it's like. Those are all Buddy Rich quotes, right? And if you're, let me tell you something. If a drummer is prepared to mix it up with remaining members of the band because they blew bad notes.
Jeez.
He's like, you're blowing clams all night. You're fucking up my money. I'm like, holy shit. This guy is on a different level.
Amazing.
You know? So anyway, I'm going to leave it there with Buddy Rich because I, like you know, I was a drummer for many, many years.
Yep.
And there it was, right? So amazeballs.
Well, that was
so
fun.
what do you think, man?
That was fun. That was fun. That was almost more fun because we came at it from different angles. So that was
love it.
Cool. Before we wrap up real quick, as we were talking, I did look it up and actually Clapton was in with the Yardbirds. That's who we forgot.
So
the
Yardbirds and Cream. That makes a lot of sense.
And
yes,
Solo.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, Winwood's got to get a little bit more love. But anyway, all of that said, great episode tonight, as always, Steve.
You too, Nick.
If you want to reach out to us, Rhythm Section, Music and Theory Podcast at gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Instagram, all the goodies, and send us a note and rock on.
Until next time.